Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Fabulous, sir. He couldn't be. Mr. Rob Center, our great producer, takes fantastic care of us, doing the archive. The archive's now on Spotify and every other place where you wish to find your podcast. So we appreciate him taking all the extra steps to put our podcasts all over the place. Thank you, Rob. On the news line with us now, Dr. Stanley Martin is here, Geisinger's Director of Infectious Diseases. We've turned to him probably half a dozen times in the past couple of years to get definitive answers about the healthcare trends and how we can stay safe and what was going on at the hospital. He's back on the line. Good morning, Dr. Martin. Thanks for calling in again.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
I really do appreciate it. Well, let's start out with masking. We are seeing a lot of folks get rid of the cloth masks and the surgical masks and switch to the N95 and the KN95. I'm going to ask you this question. Why is that? Why the numbers are going down right now? Because we're redoing and redoubling the masking.
Well, the numbers are going down probably because the virus has swept through so much of the community that a lot of people have already become infected. And of course, we had some pre-existing immunity already because of vaccinations. Wearing a mask is still important and still does help prevent the spread of infection, because even though the cases are coming down, they're still quite high, still much higher than they've ever been, unfortunately.
Okay, so we're not out of the trend, may be downward, but it's downward from Mount Everest, basically. So
that's right.
Yeah, sort of downhill. Tell us, reiterate how masking helps. I still see occasionally in our social media saying, I was wearing my cloth mask and I got COVID anyway.
Yeah, so it's true. No mask is 100%, but any mask is better than nothing. And unfortunately, of course, many of the masks that people wear, they don't always wear particularly effectively, right? They wear a mask that doesn't fit them very well. They wear a mask that's very loose, or they're not even wearing it where they're covering their nose, right? They may just be having it cover their mouth. And if they're not covering their nose and mouth, then it's not going to work at all.
And the mask is our method of protecting other people. I do remember you telling us that about 18 months ago.
Yeah, I think that's an important takeaway for anybody, because some of us, of course, are young, healthy, and apparently invincible, right? But not all of us. And so if we want to be able to protect our friends, if we want to be able to protect our neighbors, our family members, the mask is the most effective tool that we can do. That and, of course, being up to date on your vaccination.
Well, the president says he's going to give us all a mask. How do you properly fit an N95 mask?
Well, you want to make sure that it fits snugly over your nose, your mouth, and your chin. You want to try to minimize any gaps that might be present there, and you want to make sure that you have the loops going behind the head or behind the ears, depending on the design of the mask, so that it's fitting very snugly.
And if your glasses are still fogging up, do you still have some fitting to do? Might that be a truism?
Yeah, that's something that you might want to be aware of, that if there's a gap at the top, it might cause your glasses to fog up a little bit. Sometimes a piece of tape can help with that. If there's a wire in the nose of the mask, that is typically one of the more effective ways to kind of bend the mask into proper shape.
Yep, unless we see a lot of the folks with the flesh-colored tape out there in the N95 trying to keep their glasses clear if they're going to have it on for an extended period of time. Is there any breathing advice if you are wearing an N95 where you're breathing through the mask consistently? Anything I should keep in mind, especially if I'm going to have it on for a number of hours?
No, not necessarily. You know, people can exert themselves. Studies have shown that adults who are exercising fully and wearing a mask like that don't suffer any decrease in oxygen levels or ill effects. Sometimes they may feel like they're having a little bit more trouble breathing than they would without the mask, but physiologically, it doesn't seem to really impact them.
Okay, so we'll keep all that information in mind. What's the state of the pandemic-related population at Geisinger, Danville, and over in Shamokin?
Well, our hospitals, unfortunately, still remain quite high in terms of surging capacity with patients in the hospital with COVID. Because even though we said earlier on, our numbers overall in the state and in our counties are starting to come down, they're still higher than they've ever been, something like 15,000 to 20,000 cases a day. And that means, unfortunately, that our hospitals are still at very high capacity with patients with COVID.
So explain what this, what it looks like in your hospital with this kind of a surge underway. Give us a visual on that.
It means roughly one in four beds in our hospital are somebody with COVID. It means that our beds are completely occupied in such a way that sometimes when people come in for medical problems, they may not be able to go to a normal hospital room. Sometimes we have to take care of them in the hallway. Sometimes we have to take care of them in other rooms that are not specifically designed to be normal hospital rooms. We have patients who come to the emergency room who wind up, unfortunately, having to wait much longer than they might normally have to wait to get the care that they might need, or be admitted into the hospital into a normal bed. And so this, of course, puts a strain on everybody, not just the patients, but it puts a strain on all the staff, it puts a strain on all the resources, and it makes everything more difficult to accomplish for the health of our communities, unfortunately.
What's the term for this when you have 100 people waiting in the hallway in the emergency room and elsewhere in the hospital? You always have a reference for that.
A reference for that?
Well, yeah.
I call it being very busy.
Very busy. Okay. Well, some other term.
Yeah. Well, surge is the common term that we use to describe this, yeah.
Okay. And we've also seen bunking where you literally have two people in the same spot in a hallway, you know, in a numbered spot in the hallway where you put a number along the wall and say, this is now room number five. And then there's a bunk. So it's two person to a room, and it's really just a bunk in the hallway. So really just a tremendous surge. Has this had an impact on delaying voluntary surgeries like hip replacements or knee replacement, things that we want to have happen, but, you know, unfortunately can wait a little bit?
Yeah, unfortunately it has. It has made it difficult to do a lot of the routine planned surgeries. Now, obviously, emergency surgeries are still going on every day in our hospitals, and they will continue to go on regardless. But people who may be planning something like a hip replacement where it doesn't need to be done today, but obviously the sooner it's done, the better, those poor people, unfortunately, are having to wait even longer than they might normally.
Tell me about future variants. We don't know what they'll mean, but we do know what they could be.
Yeah, I left my crystal ball at home, unfortunately, which is a shame because I too would like to know the answer to that question. I think we all anticipate that the counts are going to continue to come down. The surge of Omicron, that we've seen throughout the state is on its downward trend, but we do not anticipate that this virus is simply going to go away, that it's going to continue to smolder in our communities to some degree. Immunity from this virus does tend to wane over time, and so there's going to be always a risk of somebody getting this infection. Now, whether that's going to result in a very severe disease or not is hopefully not. But, of course, we've seen these different variants arrive, and it's conceivable we could see another one in the future. And the most concerning scenario, of course, would be a variant that could arise that would escape all pre-existing immunity and have the capacity for causing much more severe disease. We don't know, of course, if that's going to happen. We certainly hope it's not going to happen, but it is conceivable, unfortunately.
In the meantime, are you better at treating people today than you were last year?
We have actually gotten a lot better at treating COVID, not just in the hospitals, but also outside the hospitals. There have been a couple new therapies that have come down the pike And although there are some limitations right now in access to some of these medications, we don't have as many of them as we would like, for instance. There are a couple pills out there now which can be effective at treating COVID and preventing people from winding up in the hospital. And, of course, there have been some antibody therapies that we've been using now for over a year, which have been very effective in people at high risk of hospitalization or death from COVID. And in those people who have been able to get those infusions, it has helped prevent them from winding up in the hospital or dying as a consequence.
All right. Anything else you would like to add? I always leave the best tables or the best questions unanswered on the table, if you will. What else would you like to add?
Well, I just would add that, you know, this has been stressful for everybody, and I know everybody is tired of talking about COVID and the pandemic, and everybody wants to move on, and I want to move on too. The most effective way we can do that, the most effective way we can move on, is to not ignore it. And the two things that we can all do, all of us can all do, is to get vaccinated, make sure we're up to date on our booster, and to make sure we're wearing a mask when we're out there in the community to prevent the spread of further infection.
Yeah, it sounds strange. I'm looking forward to calling you in the years ahead and going back to talking about RSV or flu or something like that.
I would love to do any of those things anytime.
Okay, well, we'll do that in the years ahead. Thank you so much, Dr. Martin. Very much appreciated. Thanks for all your help all along.
You're very welcome. Hang in there, everybody.
All right, thank you, Dr. Stanley Martin. Geisinger, Director of Infectious Diseases.